This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory.
Glory. Glory.
Oh.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisited us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know this voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't have a clue what it is that you do at 11, but whatever it is you do, I'm happy that you're doing that do and that you have decided to do that do with me. It's Tuesday. I brought more smart people to talk to you guys. Why? Because I think smart people are needed in the conversation because I ain't smart, right? So I have to invite the smart people I know to help me talk about the things that I think about. And then hopefully at the end of it all, we will get it all figured out. So I'm in studio this morning with my good friend, Captain Glenn Bain. You know him. He is ship inspectorate, former deputy port controller, a whole list of other things, right? And we're talking about the maritime business. There has been a lot of news going on around the maritime arena, whether it is the ship collision with the oil tanker that sank into the abyss. And it's nothing like when things go into Davy Jones' locker. Once it's in Davy Jones' locker, it don't come out of there, right? And of course, if you remember, the report stated that the stuff that they were carrying was so lightweight that once it hit the surface, the sun should evaporate it and it should all go into the atmosphere and cause no real damage, right? Interestingly enough, with the whole Ministry of the Environment, there's not been much reporting beyond that point. So we'll talk to Cap a bit about what that translates into. And then, of course, I want to talk to him about a place that I'm going to call one of his favorite places, because every time I talk to him, he's somehow either leaving there or heading there. So Grand Bahama, I see the Prime Minister, and I'm going to play this clip. The Prime Minister is talking about the time for investment in Grand Bahama being now. Cap and I share differing views on what it would take to jumpstart Grand Bahama. I think that is a good thing. You know what I say. I say, let's just build a Walmart and that'll fix it all. He doesn't believe that, though. And then he has been an advocate for, I think it is starting a ship, what do you call it, ship writing academy, where you teach the fellas to join and fit and all that stuff. And who knows, maybe we'd be able to provide all the manpower for the shipyard. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I mean, if that don't work, right? If that don't work, and anyone know the Prime Minister, you could tell him I say this. If my Walmart idea don't work or this ship-fitting academy don't work, here's my next idea. Call Tom Brady and tell him, since you want to retire so bad, here's what we're going to do. We are going to build you an NFL-regulated stadium. We're going to build it in Grand Bahama. We're going to bring you on as the consultant to the Ministry of Sports. You are going to go out there and recruit teams to come and vacation and train in the summer, and they're going to do it in Grand Bahama. They're all going to occupy Airbnb subdivisions, so we're going to invite Bahamian investors to build an Airbnb subdivision somewhere near one of these beaches in Grand Bahama, because we ain't building another hotel on no beach, so all you have is beach available in Grand Bahama. And you're going to go out there and we're going to have the Tom Brady Invitationals, yeah? And this is what you're going to do until you're 50, since you don't want to stop playing football. You can come down here, recruit a couple of these fellas with the Montelites, because they big and strong for no reason.
couple of fellas out of Ridgeland, because they big and strong for no reason. And by the end of the day, we want you to be able to guarantee us a minimum of 50 Bahamians a year with possible prospective niches and nexuses to the NFL. And we're going to pay you $500,000 a year because we can't afford more than that. And, I don't know, build you a house in Abaco or something to go along with your two houses that you already got down there. How does that sound? And I believe that may be what it takes to breed life back into Grand Bahama. But anyway, that's enough of that. Let me go to the clip from the Prime Minister. I want you to hear what the Prime Minister had to say. And then, Captain Glenn Bain.
Grand Bahama, as he says his administration is determined to get Grand Bahama back on track.
The time for talk as to where Grand Bahama is going is over for me. We need action. Mm-hmm. We need to see. I know Grand Bahama, having lived here myself in the early 70s, and the time has come for Grand Bahama to truly live up to its true potential. And it's not going to happen with people just talking about it.
The PM's comments came after he met with Minister for Grand Bahama Ginger Moxie and other senior government officials on that island. Davis says his administration is determined to find and implement a strategy that works for Grand Bahama that has had an ailing economy for nearly two decades.
There are a number of factors that we're looking at now to determine the direction that Grand Bahama should go. But we are now looking at all those possibilities and projects, because we want to have partners in Grand Bahama who has a vision that they are prepared to put their money where their mouth is to ensure it becomes a reality.
As it relates to the Grand Lucayan, he says that's just one piece of the puzzle for revamping that island.
The real issue is not just the Grand Lucayan, because there's no sense us putting it in the hands of someone and then the other components for a successful community are not there. So for example, to have a successful project at Grand Lucayan, a successful resort, airlifts is important. So we have to look at the airport to see how we can get the airport back on stream in a way to complement and to ensure it feeds into the Grand Lucayan Hotel.
Back in 2018, the Minnesota administration purchased the resort from Hong Kong conglomerate Hutchison Whampoa. The price tag, $65 million. 2 years later, in March 2020, an agreement between the government and Bahamas Port Investments Limited was signed, and the final buying price was $50 million. The Davis administration announced last month that the sale agreement was canceled. Reporting for R News, I'm Jasmine Brown.
So what you basically heard the Prime Minister said is that, you know, Grand Bahama finds itself in a position where there are multifaceted issues taking place, right? Like, so we have the Grand Lucayan and it's ours. But to pump money into that would make no sense unless you build an airport, right? We need investors to come, but not the investors that are typical. We need the ones that come with the money in their bag. Like, we don't need the ones like Bahama was, which was, we come, you all give us the land, and then we go talk to the bank about the money. The Prime Minister say, no, you got to bring your money, put your money where your mouth is. Which is a good thing and a bad thing, because Grand Bahama has had those kind of investors before, right? If you consider the Xanadu, the Princess, they were all money on the ground investments, right? That if you go to Grand Bahama now, I hear the Prime Minister talking about his once reminiscent time about Grand Bahama, 1970s. I went to Grand Bahama for the first time in 1989, and I can tell you that what Grand Bahama is today is a far cry, right? A swan song away from from what it was in 99. So I don't know which Grand Bahama the Prime Minister is talking about, if he's talking about Grand Bahama circa 77, circa 78. And so there are a number of moving pieces, right? Again, my two best ideas is build a Walmart or call Tom Brady, right? But there are some people with some more technical ideas surrounding Grand Bahama. Captain Glenn Bain has always been one. Good morning, Cap. How are you?
Good morning to you, Levan. Good morning, Bahamas. I'm very well. Thank you very much. Yeah. Always excited to be with you on the show.
And we've got some interesting information to give you all at the end of the show. So make sure you all stay with us the whole time. All right. So you've heard the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister say we need investors to put their money where their mouth is, that isn't afraid to actually come and spend their money in Grand Bahama. But you and I have agreed that the difficulty with Grand Bahama is they continue to use or try to module wrong. Most places you go, whether it is Atlanta or whether it is Missouri or whether it is the Middle East, right? They build something and then the population and the economy kind of builds around that thing to facilitate it, right? In Grand Bahama, they continue to try to do it kind of differently, which is they want to build a hotel in hopes that people will somehow come to this hotel. And I don't really understand that awkward, you know, kind of situation that they create in Grand Bahama. But you have always been a proponent that there is already something that exists in Grand Bahama. It is the shipyard. There are people there in the thousands that require reclassification, retraining, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the time. And we live in a maritime region. We could become the hub for maritime training in this region, right? What kind of nuts and bolts does that take, though, Gap?
Well, it takes the nuts and bolts that it take to get Freeport to be the hub center of maritime. I mean, it is now as far as the commercial entity is concerned. Mm. But as far as maritime professionals, maritime personnel available to the world, Freeport first, but to the world. The thing is, you're not going to get a fitter to work at the Grand Bahama Shipyard in place of that Filipino fitter if he cannot match the skill.
Okay.
You see, a ship is not like a building. You don't just go and weld tanks. You have curves. You have to fit things together, especially steel.
Right.
They have special schools in the Philippines for that.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it that we can't have a school similar to that in Grand Bahama or even in Nassau?
Mm-hmm.
Because Nassau have the bulk of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could train up fitters, you have ships out to sea that need fitters as well.
Mm-hmm.
You have ships, vessels here in the Bahamas, mailboats, but they need fitters, right? They have to use Filipino fitters to do their work, or they have to go on dry dock and get it done where fitters are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one aspect of it, fitters.
Mm-hmm.
We have a fleet in the Bahamas, right, of over 1,500 ships.
Mm-hmm. Those are Bahamian registered.
They are Bahamian registered ships that travel worldwide, right? We need the link to train our seafarers or train our people to be seafarers that can feed in to that 1,500. We have connection with the ship owners.
Right.
We have connection with the ship managers. We have connection with the classification societies and everybody else that deals and take care of these ships. We need to find a link.
What is the normal average cargo ship crew makeup? Like, how many men?
You could start from, if it's a bulk carrier, probably 80. It depends on what activity that ship does.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say bulk carrier probably carry less, and tankers. Anywhere between, say, 18 and 50 crew.
18 to 50 crew.
Right.
Right.
But, again, you got passenger ships, too.
Right.
You know the passenger ship, the door is wide open for everybody on passenger ships.
Okay.
Bahamas is number one in the world with passenger ships.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that we can't get some of our people? Because we have the skills with everybody else on the passenger ships have. Why can't we get our people on some of these passenger ships to work?
Mm. Now, I noticed they talked about airlift in the Grand Bahama, right? And I smile every time I hear that because the airport is non-existent, right? It's I don't even know which adjective you would use to describe the airport.
Well, it had some challenges over the years because the hurricanes basically sink it.
Agreed, but
it does that every time.
I don't know anywhere that would leave an airport looking like that for 2 years. Like it's deplorable, right? But it's because I've lived in St. Louis after the tornado destroyed St. Louis's airport, and literally 9 months later the airport was back up and running. Our airport is not even a microcosm of that airport. And we can't get it up and open, right? But I'm thinking about why is it that we always talk about airlift into Grand Bahama when we have already created a module in Exuma where Exuma is a sailing paradise of almost the world. Ships come from down south, they come from up north, they come from out east, and they all want to do one thing, and that is sail into the Exumas. Grand Bahama has the luxury of having deep water, having canal systems, And so maybe the concept we need to be leaning more toward is, you know, forget this whole airport idea, right? And the airport just be something that we use for domestic use, basically. But that we begin to do what we're doing in the Exuma Keys, which is attracting more of the luxury yacht types to come into Grand Bahama because we have canalways, because we have deep water passages and that kind of stuff. How viable an idea is that?
Actually, when you talk about ships go into, or vessels, yachts and whatnot go into to the Exumas, mm-hmm. they're not really going to mainland Exuma.
No, they're going to the Keys.
They're going to Land and Sea Park.
Okay.
They don't reach nowhere near that where that airport is. They don't go by plane.
That's my point.
Now, the same thing in Abaco. Abaco is the shipping, the yacht capital of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
But Abaco has a lot of keys and waterways, and it's just a beautiful trip to sail the Abacos.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sail Grand Bahama like that.
Mm.
You don't want to go in the canal, so you're going to sail Grand Bahama.
No, but I'm talking about when I consider the canalways, right? So there's a security there for your yachts. From the elements, that is, there is deep water, so mega yachts can come if we needed to. I'm just trying to figure out, is there more that we could be doing to tap into the yachting market as it relates to Grand Bahama, since Grand Bahama is so, you know, sea friendly?
Grand Bahama Harbor
mm-hmm.
is miles away from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Mega yachts go in Grand Bahama Harbor. Every time they want to move, they got to either get a taxi or they got to rent a car. It's not like they're coming in Nassau Harbor and they can just walk down the street and they're in the city.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the drawbacks
mm-hmm.
for vessels wanting to be in Grand Bahama.
Okay.
The harbor's too far. Now, you have Port Lucaya,
right,
which is basically they created a city around Port Lucaya
mm-hmm.
for the yachtmen. But again, it's for small yachts.
Very small, yeah.
Right? It's not going to be for mega yachts and super yachts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then Abaco is there. Why would a sailing vessel or a family having fun cruising, they'd rather go between the Keys and go to Abaco because they're protected in Abaco as well.
Okay.
They have a lot of marinas. They have a lot of restaurants. They in the middle of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Abaco is far more attractive for boating. When you talk about pleasure boating or charter yachting, and then you have the Land and Sea Park, which is the next big mm-hmm. area, and they have loads and loads of yachts going in and out of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They go into that Hibbins Key area, Bell Island area.
Yeah, between Hibbins Key and Staniel Key.
Yeah.
It starts at about Radica, just below Normans Key,
mm-hmm.
And it goes all the way down to
Samson.
Just beyond Samson Key, yeah. And it's about 60 miles long and another 40 miles wide. It's huge.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Cap, the way I see it, we have to begin to think about what we will do in Grand Bahama, right? I mean, and again, like I said, one of your messages has always been the maritime industry is something there that we're not really even tapping into, and that Freeport has all of the capabilities. And the ideas, though, just don't seem to be, you know, they don't seem to be coming to the top. They don't seem to be surfacing. And so, you know, there has to be a start point, right? I also see in the newspaper today that the prime minister is saying that, well, Dubai investors are interested in the Bahamas but not interested in Grand Bahama. I don't know. I don't know how that could be sense, but it's in the newspaper. What do you think it will take, though, to get an investor to begin to think about Grand Bahama with less disdain, like we see in the newspaper this morning?
Well, if you take the harbor of Grand Bahama, Grand Bahama is just another family island, eh?
Mm-hmm.
The port is not what it was then.
Mm-hmm.
The port itself, the port authority, I'm not an expert on Grand Bahama,
mm-hmm.
but the port authority itself is not pouring into Grand Bahama what they were pouring into Grand Bahama in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, in Grand Bahama right now, Freeport is starting to become another family island.
Really?
Yeah, because everything... what Freeport was designed for
mm-hmm.
no longer exists.
Okay.
You got to remember, well, obviously you wouldn't have been around. Freeport had, they used to call it brick and mortar in the 60s when they were really building Freeport.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything was brand new.
Okay.
I used to go to Freeport as a little boy, and I love Freeport mm-hmm. because there was so much going on. The bazaar was being built, this was happening, that mm-hmm. was happening. And there was so much activity as you had all the live bands all over the place. A lot of people left Nassau just to go to Freeport and live. And, well, of course, other Caribbean countries, too. Turks and Caicos is a big one.
Right.
But things was happening in Freeport. Freeport was what Provo is today.
Okay.
Right? Mm. And the buildings are now dilapidated. The port is based on my information, not pouring into Freeport like they used to pour into. Well, of course, all the original owners of the Port Authority died and passed.
Real, yeah.
God bless their souls. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same Freeport. Mm-hmm. The design, the reason for Freeport no longer exists.
Okay.
Freeport was supposed to be the play town or playhouse for all of the, you know, high rollers
the
and whatnot.
Who's, yeah.
Yeah. And they're supposed to come to Freeport and be catered to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got, when people in Freeport start making good money, they start building big houses like everybody else, and they ain't trying to serve nobody. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Freeport is not no longer what it was set out to be. Now,
but the city is still pretty well, the city is still pretty well managed.
Laid
still,
out.
Yeah, I mean, there's still great potential there. There's still great opportunity for, I believe like if you rest one thing on the ground in Grand Bahama that functions, the entire place could come back to life, right? You and I talked earlier on the show that one of the difficulties Grand Bahama has is Grand Bahama has fewer familial nexuses than most of these family islands. So let's just say in Andros, right?
Right.
You have people that are from North, people that are from South, people that are from Central. You have the North Andros Homecoming, which shortly after is followed by, Crab Fest, which then shortly after is followed by the North Andros Regatta. Yeah. And so I take a Captain Glenn Bain with me to North Andros Regatta because he is my neighbor and I got cousins who have a house in Andros. When I go to Andros, now Captain Bain falls in love with Andros, and now he makes regular trips to Andros, whether it is once a year. And so you see that kind of... But if you go around, or in the circles that I run in, almost every time you ask, the only people that I know that have been to Grand Bahama are people over 50. I very rarely find my 30-year-old contemporaries telling me that they have, for any reason, visited Grand Bahama. And if they have, they went to some social event, which was they went to play rugby or they went to... And there was no engagement or interaction with the city. Although the city was very well planned and developed, they went, they came from the airport, they went to their hotel room, they went to their event. They came from their event, they went back to their hotel room and back to the airport, which is basically the story that I hear from people in my age bracket. So the engagement with the Grand Bahama isn't the same as the engagement with the Kett Island, as the engagement with a Farmers Hill, as the engagement with a Black Point. People go to Black Point and they have a riotously good time. Why? Because it is a power-packed weekend where a lot of Nasuvians will be there, right? But those Nasuvians have interconnecting links to Black Point. And now I don't even need you to take me back to Black Point because I'm going to go without you. Freeport does not enjoy that. We've got to figure out a way to fix that gap.
Well, Freeport was the second city. Freeport was not designed to be like the island, going to the island for island life.
Mm-hmm.
Freeport was, you go to Freeport to party.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when I was on the Defense Force, we used to sneak in Freeport. Every time we get near it, we have to go into Freeport.
Yeah.
Because you got about 10 clubs open every night.
Mm-hmm.
And you move from club to club to give you link in with the Freeport people, you find out which one closed when, and you navigate your way from club to club, and when the last one closes around daylight, you head back to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But how many clubs are in Freeport the way it was back then? You could hardly find any of them.
Mm.
They do have some clubs, and mainly for the younger folks.
Yeah, the nightlife in Freeport isn't too bad. I was there about a week and a half ago, and you know,
but it's nothing compared to what it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's nothing compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
I can call some of those places that I frequented, and it was just so many of them.
How then do we... So you're saying super yachts won't work in Grand Bahama because the port's too far. Alukaya isn't adequately fitted for mega yachts. How is there a way for Grand Bahama to benefit more from the maritime industry, though?
Well, you know, Grand Bahama has a hub of commercial maritime activities.
Mm-hmm.
They got CMEX, which does storage of cement. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got silos. The setup at CMEX is bigger than most setups in the U.S., single setups for cement storage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got some activities going on there. You get Bahama Rock. That in itself is a big operation that creates or generates a lot of maritime activities.
Mm-hmm.
You get Grand Bahama Shipyard, huge,
mm-hmm.
a lot of activities. You get Freeport Container Port. You get Bradford Marine. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of activities going on in Freeport proper,
mm-hmm.
in the harbor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is keeping Freeport alive. If that harbor was a shutout now from all the activities going on, where would people work?
What about more recreational boat building? I overheard a conversation last night, right? Like, I think there was a time when there was the Aubrey Brothers Boat Building Company, but that was in Abaco, right?
Abaco.
And then I think there was, are they the ones that also build the Abaco skiff mold?
Yes.
Okay, but then there was also...
I don't know if it was the Aubrey Brothers, but I know it was done on one of the keys.
Right.
There was also
an Andrus skiff as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Andrus Boat Builders.
Right. And so the question becomes, right, is there a way to maybe move away? Because obviously Bahamians aren't interested in the heavy welding and fire and that kind of stuff, apparently. Only Filipinos are doing it.
Well, Bahamians are doing it, say, at Boko.
Comparably. But when you
at
check
Buckeye
the numbers.
And South Riding Point, they would have Bahamians involved in the contract to maintain those big tanks, and they're doing a lot of welding.
Okay. But mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Bahamians had a time when recreational boat building was their thing, right? Is there a way that maybe we could look into having that model come back, where we have Bahamian boat builders that are building the Abaco skiffs and building the Andrus skiffs and, I don't know, building whatever kind of other recreational craft that we have down there in Grand Bahama? What would something like that take to get off the ground? Since we already have docking space, harbor space, land space, is it even something that's possible? And maybe we could start the Bahama Boys brand of skiffs. I don't know.
I think, well, you know, the Abaco skiff is a big hit. I mean, you want one of those things. You got to put in for it like 3-4 years in advance because they just booked out. Mm. So if you can duplicate that and have a Freeport entity doing the same type quality of skiffs, that could be a help. But how big would that be, you know? I mean, it's a help.
All right.
But for the community in Grand Bahama, you need something big. You need,
but there's not very many people there, you know. There's not very many people in Grand Bahama. I mean, 50,000, 55,000, I think the number.
That's a lot of people. I thought it was 40,000, but I'm saying that's still a lot of volume of people that needs work.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to find, you know, we always talk about anchor projects.
Mm-hmm.
San Salvador, for example. They built Club Med in San Salvador. There was nothing there.
Right.
But Club Med was able to
fly its people in.
To fly its people in, and it was able to absorb all of the jobs. People who had the capacity to work at a hotel, they were more than happy to hire everybody. And so people had to fly in from Nassau and other places
to go work
in order for the hotel to work at Club Med.
Yeah.
And that's only one anchor project.
Yeah. We got to take a quick break. Before I go, though, I got to say a special shout out to my friends in Grand Bahama. Anytime I'm in Grand Bahama, they take very good care of me. My friends down there, the Castaways, Mr. Vernon Grant and them, they're always such a wonderful, wonderful group of people. Every time I go there, they make me feel so special. And of course, right, they cannot be outdone by my other set of friends. I've got another set of friends down there at Pelican Bay, the happiest place on the planet. Isn't that what they call themselves? Kimberly Russell and them, and of course Miss Bridgewater. They're always so nice to me. They're like a little Baptist church in a black city. You know, the usher nice, the organist nice, the pastor nice. Everybody just so nice there at the Pelican Bay. So let me make sure I send a shout out to them. We go on to the break. It's Leaving Miller. I'm here with Captain Glenn Bain. We're talking about the maritime industry and the possibilities of what it could mean in Grand Bahama. And then of course me and Cap got a decent announcement for y'all at the end of the show. So don't move. We'll be right back.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today.
Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Lavon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today at 302-2304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you so much for staying with me. It's Levin Miller. I'm here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. That means I'm unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. I like to bring my smart friends in the studio. They're just all so smart. They make me, you know, these are the people that actually give me some hope about life. I mean, because, you know, I like thinking people. I like people that think, right? And I had a friend of mine, Al Rahman, you know, he and I, we spoke last night. And he said, but, you know, sometimes in the nighttime, I find myself up at night just thinking about things. And that's kind of what happens when you're a thinker, right? Like the systems of the world do not always apply. And so you got to kind of think your way around them or through them or past them. And so I'm happy to have my friend, Captain Glenn Bain, he's here with me in studio. Let's take this phone call because they held on through the break. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
Mr. Miller, I enjoy listening to your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish one of these days I could have a chance to talk with you one-on-one.
Okay.
However, why I'm calling, Glenn Bain.
Yes, Miss Sheila.
Oh, yes, okay. So you are the person. My dear, how are you?
I am in good shape, ma'am. And how are you?
I'm trying.
So
I'm trying.
Good to hear your voice. You sound lovely.
Oh, that's a bag. I guess that's the long and short of it.
Yes,
Glenn,
ma'am.
What are you doing for yourself?
What am I doing to myself, Miss Sheila?
I'm asking.
Oh, but
I haven't heard of you since your big trip. you remember? When you decided to assist one Jerome Thompson?
Oh, yeah, JT. Yeah, when we did the blind challenge around the island.
Congratulations to you. I haven't heard of anybody daring to do something like that again.
Well, thank you very much.
Mr. Miller.
Thank you for turning him on to me.
Mr. Miller.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you aware that Glenn had a blind man sail within, board, what is that? Help me out, Glenn. He sailed the boat by himself?
Yeah, all around Nassau and then around Paradise Island and just being the bow of the vessel, conning him, and he's steering and moving the trawls and doing everything on his own.
Wow. So you have put that kind of challenge aside, have you?
Well, I am always available to JT and his team. He's aware of that. And we've been trying for some time to get another. We were actually planning to do a trip from the Bahamas to Florida.
Uh-huh.
And then we were trying to do a trip where he would be steering the ship, the vessel, and amputatee with one leg would be skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out because we were unable to pin down a boat that was, you know, readily fit to do it.
Okay, my question to Mr. Miller.
Yes.
How feasible you think that kind of challenge is in terms of Glenn and other Glenn, what's the word I want? Promoting himself as the guide or tutor or whatever.
Well, I will say this.
With disability.
I will say this. My confidence in Captain Bain is unwavering. He enjoys all of it. He has my full confidence. I am perfectly sure that it is something that is comfortably within his remit.
Mr. Bain.
Yes, Ms. Kalman.
Can I be bold enough to ask you to please give me a telephone call?
I will be most happy to do that. I guess she could leave
her number. What you can do for me, Miss Bain, is it? You can hold
Kalma,
sorry. If you hold the line for me, my producer will take your number.
Uh-huh.
And Captain Bain can get to you right after the show.
Okay, thank you very much. And all the best to you, Glenn.
Thank you,
Miss Sheila Kalma.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Right.
All right. So 323-622-3254-316-325-4259. Those are my numbers. You can call me on those. You can text me on 422-4796. Let's shift gears a bit here, Cap. We are talking about the collision at sea. Right?
Right.
Interesting story. I will say this as somebody that has sailed at nighttime, that people typically don't come from those kind of stories either limbless or lifeless. Right? You either, when you have an accident like the one that happened at sea, with the mitigating circumstances surrounding that incident, you either lose a leg, or life. Your life, right? But no, none of that happened. We have a very high-powered super yacht going at moderately high speed, running into a very old tanker.
Very old tanker, single hull tanker.
Completely laden, my understanding.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
And no one's dead at 10 o'clock at night, on a night with low visibility, right? Which is one of the reasons they said, you know, aided in the crash. Low visibility means a man overboard exercise is near impossible, right? Because you think seeing things at nighttime, it's difficult to see some ships at nighttime, right? Imagine seeing heads in the water at nighttime. There's so many challenges surrounding that. Your expert opinion, how did they survive that?
Well, the thing is, the impact, Levin, I saw all the diagrams and I read a lot of the reports on it. Apparently, they were all going in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
So it would, based on the call regs or collision regulation, it would be more of an overtaking situation.
Okay.
One vessel overtaking another is supposed to remain clear until he's past that vessel.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, this wasn't an overtaking situation because for those two vessels, one to leave Nassau Harbor and the other one to leave Clifton Pier, and they're both going towards Starboard Key. There's a point where you go around Starboard Key to go wherever you want to go, but everybody goes to Starboard Key and goes around Starboard Key to head to
Starboard Key is the Berry Islands for people that don't know.
The Northern Key and the Berry Islands.
Right.
Both of them heading for that waypoint to make a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to collide, that means they would have been in sight of each other. For a long time. And not only inside of each other, because being inside, and if you look through a window and you see a vessel and you're 10 miles away.
Right.
And 10 minutes later, you can see that same vessel through that same window.
Getting bigger.
That means, no, it's getting closer. It's getting bigger because you are moving. So no matter what direction you were going into, once there's a steady bearing and your range is closing in, then you're on a course of collision.
Collision course, yeah.
And both vessels have the obligation to remain clear of a collision.
Yeah.
Take action to avoid collision.
Right.
So I don't know the details. I wasn't involved in any investigation or any inquiry. But based on the information I saw, I can't see where anybody's paying attention in that situation.
Now, I think about Stirrup's Key. I didn't go around Stirrup's Key much as a Defense Force officer, but my daddy happened to be a small boat fisherman, and I spent, you know them, spent one bunch of time up and down the Berry Islands. And from my recollection, if you go around Great Wales Key, closer to the Great Wales, Little Wales area, you may find some bank there. When you get up around the western side of Bourne's Key, that's plenty ocean. When you get up around that northern tip of Stirrup's Key, that's even more ocean.
Yeah.
Again, 10 o'clock at nighttime on the dark, dead ocean with low visible moonlight. How possible is it to leave that situation with your life?
Well, the ship was swiped from behind.
Mm-hmm.
The bow of one ship made contact with the stern of the next.
Right.
The stern started to take on water, obviously. The stern would have taken in water. And because it's not a double hull tanker, the water's going to keep coming in and it's going to flood the ship and the ship is going to sink. Now, you got to remember that a ship like a ship belonging to Maritime Management LLC, they have all fully trained seafarers that are fully qualified to be at sea.
Mm-hmm.
They have life rafts. They would have lifeboats.
Mm-hmm.
they would know what to do. They have to do drills to practice abandoning ship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They know that they got to make sure everybody's accounted for, all the rest of that. And my understanding is that quite a few of them got injured.
Mm-hmm.
What extent of injury, I don't know.
Okay.
But I assume it's based on the impact of the ship.
Right.
And once they get in the water, on a life raft or on a lifeboat, it's easy to rescue them. I mean, unless the weather's really, really ratty and choppy and all the rest of it. I really don't know what the weather was like, the condition was like on that night.
Mm.
But there was another yacht in the area that was around to offer assistance and basically just take them on board.
Okay. So let's talk about what's more relevant in the news during in the maritime arena. Let me take these phone calls first though. Good morning, caller. You're on. Not there. Let's take the other one, Ali. Good morning, caller. You're on. Call you there?
Hey,
what's up?
Hey, pleasant morning. So, Devon.
Hey, how are you doing?
Man, I'm good. I'm Glenn.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Top shape, my friend. Who's this?
This is Anthony Sturm.
Hey, Brother Sturm, I'm fine, man. How are you? Go ahead.
That's good. Joan Adams' husband.
That's right, yeah. Brother Sturm.
Listen, you know, my thing is the PLP government under Perry Christie. Honorable Perry Christie spent considerable amount of money in developing or starting the implementation or development of a national development plan, which encompasses land, sea, and all of our different resources. I think that is what we need. We need to continue with our national development plan and to see how we will be able to use the various islands and the various resources. If not, we will continue to be doing things ad hoc. So that is what I just want to say. We need to, and I know that the present government has said that they will continue or they will look into furthering whatever was put into the National Development Plan so that whoever comes in place, we will have a blueprint. We'll have a vision for the next 20, 40 years as to how we want our country to be developed.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Text message here says, good morning, brother. I listen to you every morning. I think you're very intelligent. Thank you. I think you're very kind. But some of the things you say, like about the school uniforms and now build a Walmart. Come on, man. We need capital to be able to patronize the Walmart. So we'll need some serious tourist dollars. I know you can't be that obsessed. Well, you know, here's what I say. I sometimes subscribe to the theory in economics that says if you save a dollar, you've earned a dollar, right? I think that is an economic theory. Every dollar saved is a dollar earned. And we spend $900 million in the Florida economy. I willing to bet $90 million of that going to Walmart. So even if we could curtail some of that Walmart money that we send to Florida, the Walts won't care because they'll still get their cut. But, you know, we may be able to actually pump that money into Grand Bahama and see development around it because people will have to build places to stay. But it's funny that you could go to Grand Bahama 9 o'clock in the night on a Friday and get a hotel room with the greatest ease. Try that here in Nassau. You're going to sleep in your rental car. This says, hi, Brady should go back to New England and do a going away year. Him and Bill, I'm sure. This says, the government must get rid of the Grandmama Port Authority. I also believe that. I think it's time to buy the port out. I think it is time. Mr. Ingram alluded to that under the last FNM administration, and I think that it's good wisdom that they've spent their time. You know, we still love them, but we've grown out of love with them, and they may be able to go. It says that era worked during the time, but it does not at this time. That has Grand Bahama economy clogged. This one just says, good day, Levin. I say encourage the major cruise companies to relocate their operations on Grand Bahama or set up retirement communities on the island. Grand Bahama got the perfect climate, the beaches, the activities, etc. What does it take, Cap, to move major cruise administration operations to a place like Grand Bahama?
Well, administration operations?
Yeah,
you mean like build a big office?
The logistics, yeah.
I mean, the reality is you have...
I think it's going to be too pricey.
It's going to be very pricey because you have to bring everything now from the U.S.
Will just be more.
To Freeport.
Yeah.
Everything will be higher.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll work.
Cruise ships are... a cruise ship terminal, for example. One cruise ship terminal in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
they got loads of them. Mm-hmm. But one cruise ship terminal in the U.S. Is set up to facilitate that ship logistically. I mean, the Bahamas is not in a chain for the logistics to get to that ship the way it could get to that ship in the U.S.
Okay.
So I don't know if it'll be a good idea. We tried the home porting here now, so we did it.
Yeah.
Right? But obviously, that's because all of the home porting facilities in Florida were locked down.
Were closed, yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if we did enough to hold on to it. You know, that was kind of something I was fascinated.
It was just a makeshift arrangement.
And, yeah.
And if you're going to fly all your people to Nassau after they've been to Florida to join the ship, I mean,
yeah,
how much sense would that make?
Yeah,
you know?
I guess. So okay, let's talk one more thing about the ship collision. You know, there was some talk about the carriage, right? So they say that the ship was carrying like gasoline and petroleum products and that kind of stuff, and all that stuff once it hits the surface should vaporize. Is that, I mean, there were a lot of behemoths that were a bit up in arms about that, and the environmentalists were up in arms about that. From your maritime experience, how probable is that?
Usually when you have a lot of casualty from a tanker, you're dealing with heavy fuels. You're dealing with oils, fuel oils, you're dealing with crude oil. These things create a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But light fuels, that ship had propane,
mm-hmm.
they had marine gas, and they had vehicle gas.
What is marine gas?
Like diesel, which you use for marine purposes.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had diesel, gasoline, and
propane.
And propane. That's once they are lighter than water, so they will surface.
Okay.
And once they surface, between the wind and the sun and everything, they just evaporate. They're not gonna.
Not a major challenge for our ecosystem.
Well, not that volume.
Okay.
Not you know, you're talking about a small coastal tanker. You're not talking about a super tanker.
Okay.
You're talking about a small coastal tanker that has limited capacity to carry this stuff.
Okay. So behemoths. I mean, they shouldn't be completely up and.
It's not a big deal, no.
Yeah, like this isn't like we shouldn't go all screaming like.
No, you're not gonna see anything from the beach from that ship
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, right? Or the two of them that are parked in Grand Bahama.
Bimini.
Oh, Bimini. Yes. They have the two cruise ships right now tied up in Bimini. The ones that are apparently about to be moved into some court litigation and possibly sold because they couldn't get into America.
Unfortunately, those are the cruise ships that were home porting in Nassau.
Mm.
Crystal Cruises.
Mm.
So the ship was diverted from going into Miami because there was a Florida court with an order to have the ship arrested for some owing for some $1.something million for fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And after getting wind of that, the ship owner decided to, look, we ain't going to Florida. We got to avoid to Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about ships, I know a lot of ships get arrested, and this is what you call an admiralty arrest.
Okay.
We have in the Bahamas somebody who's the admiralty marshal, who's usually the port controller.
Okay.
And still is.
Okay.
And the port controller is the admiral, just like how the commissioner of police is the provost marshal.
Right.
The admiralty marshal gets instructions from the Supreme Court. Once a law firm is representing a client, for example, the client that is suing for the oil, getting the ship arrested in Florida may have been much easier than getting the ship arrested in the Bahamas. Because once you arrest that ship, you get a writ of summons and you get a warrant of arrest.
Okay.
The admiralty marshal goes on a ship, and he would take off all the ship documents, so the ship really can't go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Customs would be informed. They wouldn't clear the ship out.
Right.
The crew would normally be repatriated.
Okay.
Because that's a cost you want to get rid of.
Okay.
Once that ship is arrested, you basically just want a skeleton crew or what they call a harbor crew, because the ship ain't going nowhere. And you want to cut costs, but you have to also put security on board the ship.
Okay.
And that's a 24-hour course.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is the court would have that ship arrested, and the owner would have some 2 weeks usually to make an appearance to say, you're saying I didn't do this, this is what I did. And if they could clear it before the time come up for the court case, then the ship will be released. Mm. That don't usually happen, because usually before the ship is arrested, it's because they're falling short on funds.
Right.
So once the ship is arrested, and the time comes for the matter to get back in the court and nothing was done, mm-hmm. then the ship would be ordered to be sold.
Okay.
The marshal will find a broker to sell the ship.
And that broker is going to be local?
No.
Okay.
It's international.
International.
I don't know if we have local brokers who sell big ships.
Okay.
But if we do, of course. But usually you go to an international brokerage firm. I know when I was in the system, we used Braemar out of London.
Okay.
Technology wasn't the way it is now.
Right, right.
They would advertise it in the New York Times and in some big maritime papers to mm-hmm. say this ship is... But everybody in the game would know that this ship is a residence for sale.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what happened. Once the ship is sold, and then you have caveats going in. Because once if you are the person that the ship owes for fuel, mm-hmm. and they owe me for cleaning windows, once you arrest the ship...
Right.
You got responsibility to put on the security and make sure the ship is secure and sell the ship and all that. Mm-hmm. I will then put in what you call a caveat, mm-hmm. And that caveat would mean basically, I am now saying they owe me, but it wouldn't cost me nothing to arrest the ship, but I will get my money in court.
Cap, guess what? Just like always, whenever you come, we run out of time, right? Yeah, so it's always good chatting with you.
You need more time.
It's always good chatting with you. But, you know, people are interested in the maritime field, and so I want to make sure that they know where to find you, and you have just taken on a new location. They can find you. Tell them where they find you, if they want to follow your insight.
I'm launching a show tonight. Mm-hmm. It's going to be every Tuesday at 7:30 to 9 mm-hmm. on Love 97. Mm-hmm. And the name is Maritime Matters.
Okay.
And these things we discussed today and a lot of other things. Now, my show is going to have a guest every night. Mm-hmm. And that guest would be from the maritime sector. Mm-hmm. And we will be delving into the area that so it's not an open line show. It's a maritime show.
Right, right. Yeah. And that is for people that want maritime information, that want knowledge and insight on how the thing works, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. And it's going to be tonight at 7:30 on Love 97.
All right. Well, Captain Glenn Bain, he's a good friend of mine. He's very smart. I like talking to him. He always has very insightful things to say. I'm Levin Miller, though. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're your station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move. They've got the news for you. That happens next.
Glory. Oh, glory. Glory.
Hands to the heavens. No man, no weapon. Formed.